By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. For more information, please visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. We're back with another episode this week, and we're going to tackle a hot button topic, something that's been all over the Christian news, and not just that, the Washington Post, the New York Times, so far, and so much and so on, that has been in the news recently. It's something you've probably read about, clicked on an article, or seen a Facebook post about. And it's not just this one man. It's not just this one instance. We're going to kind of talk about maybe some issues we have just in Christianity as a whole, as regards to accountability, things of that nature. We're going to talk about a lot of moral issues in this episode. But mainly we are talking about a man, Paige Patterson, who was president of Southwestern Seminary. And pastor recently, he has come under fire for some allegations, some stories from his past, some counseling sessions that we've recently learned about, just various instances that we know of this man and some of his dealings for the past, 10, 15 years has come to light recently. And he's been fired, asked to step down, resigned, however you kind of want to go about it. But we're going to talk about a lot of that, and we're going to talk about the overarching issue of some of this Me Too type movement and things like that you've probably heard. You've probably seen hashtags online. You've probably seen bold print. Pastor, lay out some of the specifics here that's going on in this story that we read and sadly read.
Nathan, Paige Patterson's a very big name amongst the Southern Baptist Convention. As you mentioned earlier, he was now the eighth president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and that's in Fort Worth, Texas. He's also served as the president of Southern Baptist Convention, both in 98 mm-hmm. and 99. The controversy really came to light as he was president very recently of Southwestern, and some allegations came up about nothing to do with him personally, morally, but more right. of how he handled situations in his leadership roles, both at Southwestern and even before that at Southeastern here in North Carolina.
Yeah, this isn't your typical, he did something overtly right. sinful. It's more of like he's a victim of, victim is probably not the right word because that sways the opinion one way or another. But he is the object of maybe this type of movement. The coming out of specifically women and some challenges they have faced. So yeah, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
They said one of the big allegations is that he did not handle allegations of a student, a lady student, who alleges to have been raped mm-hmm. at Southeastern. Allegedly, he did not handle that in mm-hmm. the proper manner. And so you know what happened. About 2 weeks ago, there was a board meeting till about 3 a.m. in the morning, and it was decided that he then would step down. Is that a nice way of saying that?
Well,
from the presidency. But he was granted a stipend or salary, mm-hmm. President Emeritus, and housing there on the campus. Mm. And then, was it just a matter of days later?
Right.
The board met again while mm-hmm. he allegedly was in Germany speaking.
Yep.
And they met and they said, no, that is it. You are through pretty much as of now.
Your emeritus is gone. Everything.
Your stipend is gone. Your money is gone. Your yep. title is gone. And your housing is gone. You're off the mm-hmm. campus, basically. Mm-hmm.
And it has been met with a lot of mixed reactions. You have people as as I guess personality-wise, or large as Al Mohler, who is the president of Southern Seminary Baptist in Louisville, Kentucky. You have people who say, you know, this is the right move. You have people like Norm Geisler from Southern Evangelical Seminary and Biola, and he's saying, you know, he thinks it's unfair. So you have good men on both sides of the fence that feel Geisler seems to feel like he's a victim of a movement, and Mohler and Russell Moore, people like that, tend to line up on the side of like, well, you know, he should, you know, at least step down before all of this, you know, kind of went south.
I think you have
south.
Two sides at play, though you're not seeing this, I don't think, in the news, Nathan. I think you have two sides. I think you have one side that is concerned about longevity and success there at the seminary. For example, recently a Biblical Counselors Association pulled their abuse conference away from the campus of Southwestern over this controversy.
Yeah,
and so maybe some of them are fearing, well, we're going to lose students if we don't change course really quick.
Well, lest you think we're being a little too demonstrative and a little too dramatic, Mohler's own article on his website, albertmohler.com, and he did a briefing, his daily podcast, he did an episode of it and called the same thing, "The Wrath of God Poured Out, the Humiliation of the Southern Baptist Convention." Lest you think we're just, you know, drumming this up, this is... if not the largest voice, one of the largest voices in the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's the name of his article on it.
You know, Nathan, what's been done is done. I don't see it being reversed.
Okay? No.
I don't think the trustees are going to reverse their position. Obviously, I mean, do I think it could have been handled a better way? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think there was a better way to handle it. Maybe the outcome would be the same. I'm not disputing the outcome. Maybe it was time for that to happen. But I think it could have been handled in a better, more professional manner.
Well, that brings up an interesting topic, I believe, because years ago, it probably would have been handled differently. I think what we have here, and you can say what you think about it, but I think what we have here is social media and instantaneous news that forces a lot of people's hands at certain things. Okay, take the instance of a totally secular thing like the Roseanne Barr situation. She put some tweets out online, and very offensive, very racist, and it's just boom, immediately. You're done. It's over. And, you know, years ago, we didn't have that medium, and there wasn't people calling for your heads 32 seconds after you let a tweet out. And now it's like, oh, someone has said that Paige Patterson counseled a woman to stay with her abusive husband. It's just like 30 seconds later, they're calling for
Nathan,
his head.
May I interject this? We are not in defense of Miss Barr, are we?
Absolutely not.
You
absolutely.
Using that as an illustration and a good illustration of that.
100% against racism and everything that she's put online. But yeah, as an illustration to prove my point that
yes,
headhunting in the online world, and I'm not saying they did that to Patterson. I'm not saying he's a victim of that. I'm just saying that it seems to be a very big ongoing issue that whatever you put online, whatever media that you have, whether it's a sermon from 20 years ago, somebody's going to listen to it. And somebody's going to be like, well, you said something here, and man, we don't like it. And there's going to have to be repercussions for it in today's instantaneous news and reaction world.
You know, I see several very important issues right here. Number one, I think we would all raise our hands and say we've made mistakes, you know, in our younger years, mm-hmm. things that we could have done better, things we wish we hadn't done at all,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so when you're talking about trying to judge somebody a decade ago, 20 years ago, that can be kind of tough unless something was purposely hid.
And yet, what, one of these instances from Patterson was 2003?
Yes.
And it's a tough subject. And I'm not saying I take one side or the other. It's hard for me to say unequivocally how the situation should have been handled. I think, you know, like you said, it maybe could have been handled a little bit differently. Maybe they allowed him the chance to resign or step down or however you want to say it, and not just strip him all. And I don't know. But that's a tough decision to say.
Along this same line, there's another big issue right before them, and I say them as far as the convention is concerned, is that he is to be a keynote speaker at the upcoming Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
There are some who wish he would step back.
Mm-hmm. And so far he's not.
He has not so far. And I personally think in the spirit of grace and humility that he maybe should offer to do that.
Right.
And then let them decide.
Let the situation cool down because it's as hot as it's...
Let it calm down just a little bit, you know.
You know, this is something that maybe we have to think about going forward. And like we said, we're not saying that he did anything overtly sinful, but maybe made some unwise choices. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know. I can't be his judge. I don't know the situation that he was in at the time. That's hard to say. But going forward, I think there's some things that we probably need to consider. And those things, I think, are related to accountability. And I don't know. I don't know where we go from there, Pastor, but I know that we have to think a little bit differently in 2018 than we did in just 2003 era.
And we also have to watch our rhetoric.
Right.
And you know, try, by God's help and grace, to express some humility,
mm-hmm.
you know, in dealing with one another. You know, we both are very conservative as far as the interpretation of the Scriptures, like in
Absolutely.
Passages of Ephesians 5 and in Titus, things that deal with the family, the marital relationship, the
mm-hmm.
home,
mm-hmm.
You know, God's order within the church
right.
as far as pastoral, you know, leadership. And you get beyond that right there, we need to be a little bit careful. I'm simply saying, Nathan, and I think that you would concur, that I say thank God for godly women
mm-hmm.
in the church. Where would the church be today without godly women?
Absolutely.
But with that being said, I still don't believe that the woman should pastor the church.
Mm. Yeah, this branches into a whole lot of different issues that we could talk about. And by no shape or form are we saying that the women shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have come out and said anything, shouldn't
right.
have.
Correct.
I'm not saying that at all. If something was the case, then they should have come out and said it. To me, the timing of all of this is just rather unfortunate. It seems to, but I guess maybe a person could say too that any time that bravery is instilled and is flamed up in a person is not the bad time, and maybe that's correct. But there's a growing passion and a growing understanding of these feelings, of these social implications. And it's something that I think we're going to have to be aware of. And it's not going to be something we're going to be able to preach about and just say, you know, this is how it was 30 years ago, and I can say whatever I want to in any kind of spirit. And, well, that wasn't right back then, but it's definitely not going to fly nowadays. Like you said, I think James implores us to pray for gentleness and to pray for wisdom in these type situations. And it's my understanding, it's my thoughts, that we're going to be hurting the church nowadays if we continue to have some hateful speech, some hateful language, and we just dismiss all this stuff as being liberal or we're letting the world get to us or something of that nature. I think we need to step back and say, hey, maybe we need to go about this in its most gentleness and its meekness and with all of that we can.
Nathan, we are called as Christians to be salt and light in a very dark culture and society.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen America so divided and almost driven by hate. And if the church can't step up, and if we can't, you know, be able to converse in a very civil manner, in a Christian, in a humble manner amongst ourselves, how in the world are we going to help the world? And so you might say, well, people may say, well, I've got my views. Well, everybody has their views.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, too, you know, whether it be discussions and views between men and women and roles and who should do or could do what, I think we have to listen to each other and with grace and and compassion.
Absolutely. And maybe you're thinking, well, this doesn't have really any effect on me. This is the Southern Baptist Convention, and we're a independent Baptist church, or we're a non-denominational church, or we're whatever have you, that you're listening to us.
But it does.
It really does. And we're sitting here as a church not affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, and it affects us.
Well, they're our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. And you better believe that it's affecting the men and women in these seminaries. And as a student, and you as a former student yourself, you know that you know, I mean, all of this stuff is affecting you. It's affecting your thinking. It's affecting your education there. I mean, how much, you know, is confidence shook in those students? We need to be praying for a lot of things at the moment. We need praying for Paige Patterson, for the students at his seminary, for all the Southern Baptist churches that are affected. You know, and you know, maybe your church hasn't attended a convention or hasn't, you know, been that involved with the convention, and that's fine. But I think you really should be concerned about the way that your denomination, that your convention, is looked at in the eyes of the world. I mean,
Nathan,
I think that's a concern.
There's more than one way to preach a sermon. Would you agree there?
Absolutely.
And maybe in this case here, you know, I respect Paige Patterson for his for all the work, labor, and that he's put in.
And still doing.
The conservative resurgence of the 1970s. You mm-hmm. know, we appreciate his great effort right there in combating liberalism. But, you know, sometimes you can preach a sermon, too, by just stepping back and really manifesting grace and just saying, hey, listen, that's fine. I can sit this one out. And that may actually shout a sermon to people right there.
That's a very, very well-made point. And I don't think the man should have to relinquish everything that he's going to do in the future and all of that stuff.
Not.
I think, you know, maybe it was a mistake back then. Maybe there was some things handled wrong, and maybe the people involved have much deeper understanding, and maybe there was some wrongdoing. I don't know. I'm just saying this, that you know, maybe it was done the wrong way. Maybe it was done exactly the way it needed to be. But I think going forward, we really have to be sensitive to issues, and we really need, and when I mention accountability, we need to have our ears open to people and their problems, and not just say, well, you're wanting attention or whatever excuses that we could make, a thousand other excuses that we can make for not hearing someone. We, more than ever, people are hurting in America. People are hurting day in and day out and dealing with issues that we can't even fathom. You know, nothing, I don't think, gets at you more than going through a tough time yourself. And I remember going through a tough time and walking through the store and seeing all these people walking through the store, and none of them knew what I was dealing with on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many people do you walk through in the supermarket and you don't have a clue what their life is like? And they're hiding it, and they're masking it, and they're going on and they're picking their bread off the shelf, but they're dealing with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that they went through, could have been 20 years ago.
And I think, Nathan, too, we need to understand, remember that a lot of people's a level of biblical understanding is very shallow in America.
Mm.
And so if you, here's maybe a woman who's an unbeliever, or maybe just a brand new believer,
mm-hmm.
and if they think, oh my, well, so they have no concern for me among Baptists, you know, I'll just have to look else. We don't want that kind of an attitude.
Right.
You know, and so I think we have to consider that not everybody has the level of biblical understanding, doctrinal understanding, that maybe others do.
Right. Yeah, and so as far as this goes, as far as this program goes, I mean, long story short, I think we have to examine all these situations. We have to keep up with the news and understand what this really means, and to be able, for when the people do ask us about it, to be able to give an answer and say, well, this is how I feel about it. This is what we believe about the situation. And this is how we might have to change. And we might have to, I mean, God forbid we have to repent of something, you know? You know, we've probably done some wrong things in the past, you know? You know, until we recognize our failures, then we can't really move forward. And so it's not a dog pile on Paige Patterson. It's not anything like that. And it's definitely not a discouragement for the women that are coming forward and dealing with real events and real issues that happen to them. It is not any of that at all. It's simply a discussion That's that tries to be outside the box, but inside the Word here at Ambassador Talks. And we want to we want Christianity to be as glorious and look as glorious as it possibly can in you know this challenging time, Pastor. Any closing other thoughts that you have?
I think you summed it up well.
All right. Well, until next time, thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your downloads, and we'll see you next time.